Hi, and welcome to Chatter, the podcast from Kainos about all things tech, design, and product. I'm Martin Corbett. I'm Principal Delivery Manager at Kainos, and today I'm your guest host. Today's topic is all about mental health and well-being during the pandemic and the festive period, and we're lucky enough to have Bridget Sester with us. Before we dive into questions, can you say hi, Bridget, and tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
Thanks, Martin. I'm an organisational development consultant at Kainos. So basically, I look at our people and our organisation and understand how we can have them grow positively and also be as effective as possible. And one of the main focuses of my role in Kainos is about developing and driving the well-being agenda for our people.
Thanks, Bridget. It's great to have you here. The global pandemic's affected every one of us in one way or another, and we're about to enter the festive period now. Do you have any suggestions for people who are feeling overwhelmed or dealing with mental health issues during this period in particular?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's just been a bit of a crazy and weird year for us all, and especially as we come to the festive period, it's just really important to make sure that we're looking after ourselves and really thinking about how we're feeling and our mental health this time. So yeah, definitely have a few suggestions for people. So one of the things I think that's really important with this Christmas period is, what is the most important thing to you this Christmas? So, you know, a lot of companies have mission statements and visions that sort of help guide their actions. And, you know, I've heard of some people who've actually sat down this Christmas and had a thought about, okay, what does Christmas mean to us and what are we actually celebrating? Sort of in a way to sort of combat the stress that might come with the situation and also just get everyone who they're celebrating it with on the same page. What's important about Christmas this year to you might be about, you know, spending time with the people that you're with. It might be about a sense of celebration. You might be totally focused on the food and the gifts. Or it might just be about rest. And I think really thinking about this stuff will help set our intentions for what Christmas is going to look like and sort of provide a bit of a framework for when, you know, we're trying to understand what we should be doing, and you can sort of fall back on what your intent is for the period. So, you know, you're not tempted to sort of play complicated and stressful sort of games or anything like that, and just making sure you're all on the same page around what you're doing. I think as well, this year of all years, it's about being realistic. So make sure that you're sort of lowering your expectations of yourself and about what the festive period is going to look like. You know, it's not going to look like what you're probably expecting this time last year, and it probably won't be what it was last year. So I think this year it's about having to think about, you know, what are going to be the important rituals that you're going to be sort of doing over the period. And thinking about how you can sort of adapt what you would usually do in some of your traditions and how you can sort of carry those things through. And it's probably also a chance to have a think about doing something a bit new. You know, it's going to be probably a bit more of a virtual Christmas. So thinking about how you can sort of adapt to that sort of style. I know for example, our family, we decided that when we were putting up the Christmas tree, when everyone was coming over, that, you know, we'd also donate to families in need through a local charity, something we've never done before. But we thought, you know, we've been lucky enough to sort of keep our jobs throughout the year, and thought of it's a good way to sort of give back to those that are doing tough. So yeah, something, you know, it's a completely new tradition, and I hope it's something that we sort of continue to do over the years to come. But I think it's really about thinking outside the box and thinking about, you know, how you can do things a little bit differently and being really realistic around what Christmas is going to look like.
Thanks, Bridget. Yeah. So you raised some interesting points there, Bridget. I think this time of year, people feel a lot of pressure anyway. And obviously this year, things can't be the same as usual. What kind of planning can they do to try and make sure this year is as good as it can be without people feeling too much pressure on themselves?
No, definitely. I think it's really about, you know, I think for a start, planning and actually looking at what you're thinking about doing, and really sort of looking over it twice and thinking, is that where I really want to sort of invest my energy this year? Obviously, sort of it being socially distanced, try to look for ways to connect sort of in a virtual world. You know, for sort of those extended people that you might have continually caught up with over the whole December period, sort of thinking about how you can sort of maintain those connections, but in a different sort of way. And I think the other thing is, you know, really make sure that people are planning in time for themselves and a bit of downtime. You know, it's been a really sort of busy year, lots going on, and just, you know, very sort of fatiguing in a way. So I think it's really important to make sure that you're building in some rest time into what you're doing, and, you know, make sure that you're not burning the wick at both ends, and sort of having moments where you can sort of relax And, you know, it could be small things. It could be, you know, maybe getting up a little bit earlier than everybody else, or, you know, taking time out to just have a bath to yourself and enjoy a, you know, cup of tea or something like that. So just thinking about what are some things, that some relaxing things that you can do, you know, to sort of really try and switch off both mind and body.
So Christmas and the festive period are going to be a bit strange in two different ways, aren't they? So for some people, you're going to be spending maybe a bit too much time with certain people that you that you've already spent most of the year with. And for other people, you're going to be estranged from the people you would normally be with or the people you would like to be with. When you're estranged from people, what kind of things can you do to keep something positive about the festive period when you're not able to see people in person?
Yeah, no, I've probably harped on about this a lot, is making sure that, you know, you are connecting with those people, with someone sort of virtually. I think it's also really important to just acknowledge the situation and how you're feeling. You know, it's really, really tough, you know, not to be with loved ones around Christmas. And I think it's sort of, it's very normal to feel very sort of sad and almost a sense of grief for not sort of being able to sort of be with people that you love. And I think just acknowledging those feelings and sort of taking time out, you know, if you need to have a cry or need to express those feelings in a way, just don't force yourself to be happy all the time, or that you should be sort of putting on a face for Christmas. Make sure that you are actually sort of feeling and acknowledging how you're truly feeling. I think as well, if you're away from loved ones, think about ways that you can build some fun into your Christmas. You know, is it about, you know, spending some time if you're able with like good friends who also may not be able to be near loved ones? You know, maybe really think about the Christmas menu that you're having. Are there things that you could sort of add in there that will remind you of the people that you're usually with? I know last year I actually sort of had my first Christmas away from my family, who were based in Australia, and I was over in the UK. And, you know, it was really important over the Christmas period to do the small little things that reminded me of home. So, for example, like there was some cooking that I did. We have rumbles, which are these sort of Australian desserts and sort of little treats that we have around Christmas. So, you know, I made some of those in the lead up to Christmas. So I think food, that's usually a big part of around Christmas. And if you can try to do something that sort of reminds you of what a normal sort of Christmas usually is, you know, I think take some time to get out, if the weather permits, into some fresh air. You know, being out in nature, going for a walk can just do wonders for your sort of overall sort of mental health and well-being over the time. And yeah, and I think just sort of have a list of things that you want to sort of get, you want to do over Christmas, whether it's watch your favourite festive films, who you want to call, there might be a book that you're really wanting to read, but just sort of having a list of things. So, you know, if you are sort of sitting around not really knowing what to do next, you can sort of have that to go to.
I guess I like the, there's a phrase I heard, random acts of kindness as well, which I feel like might be sort of relevant to this, because you might not be able to be with the people you would normally be with, but there's plenty of people out there who are lonely or isolated that maybe we could help in other ways over this period.
Yeah, no, definitely. I definitely think that's something that people can have a think about, you know, whether it's sort of donating something when you're at the supermarket. It might be checking in on neighbours as well, that, you know, just making sure that they're doing okay, you know, maybe dropping a little something off on their doorstep just to bring a little bit of Christmas cheer. So I think, you know, being able to do random acts of kindness, it's really important for us. And a lot of the research sort of suggests that when we help others, it really helps promote happiness in our brain, can really help improve our self-esteem, you know, create a sense of belonging and sort of reduce isolation. And I think it's always a good way to sort of keep things in perspective, and sort of randomly connecting with people just sort of makes us realize that we're part of something much bigger.
So speaking of kind of significant events, this year for some people they're dealing with bereavement maybe in an unexpected way. What kind of things would you suggest for them to get through this period?
For them, yeah. So I think, as I sort of said before, I think it's planning ahead. So have a real good think about, you know, what are the things you want to do that are your usual Christmas traditions. You know, what are things that you feel comfortable participating in, and things that you just don't really feel that you're ready for. They might just be too painful or different things. So it's just sort of making sure that you're doing what will make you, you know, sort of feel good. And if things are a bit too painful, you know, feeling okay to turn down offers or different things if you just sort of need some time. I think it's really important to sort of think about how you can honour your loved ones. you know, it's incredibly painful, especially, you know, when there is such a time that's, you know, such a celebration usually. It can be a really painful reminder of somebody not being there. So, for example, last Christmas, the family I was with, they'd actually lost their grandmother during the year. So one of the things we did is she had a favorite drink. So towards the end of the night, they sort of poured everyone one of her favorite wines. And, you know, they just sort of had a time to sort of remember and sort of honor her and sort of share some of like the positive stories and really important memories that they sort of had. So that's sort of a way that maybe you could, you know, could sort of honor the loved ones who aren't there this year. You know, I've heard of other people who light candles for loved ones throughout the period, you know, around the table, or sometimes having an ornament on the Christmas tree. That's also another thing. So just thinking about what are little things you can do. I think as well, you know, it's about asking for help. It's a really trying time of the year, trying to navigate your loss and grief. So I think, you know, when you feel that you need it, reach out for help. You know, that could be friends or family. But if you just don't feel that they're the right people to be opening up to at the time and you sort of just don't want to keep things bottled up inside, I guess it's contacting one of your local counselling services, such as the Samaritans or the Mind organisation in the UK. You know, I think they're really good sort of places that you can go, sort of usually 24-hour sort of telephone helplines that you can just have a chat to somebody. And sometimes somebody who's sort of outside of the situation can just bring a lot of comfort and a different perspective.
I think that's one of the hardest things for people, isn't it? Just to feel like it's okay to reach out. Sometimes it's easy to kind of internalize all of this, don't you think?
Definitely. And I think especially like reaching out, especially if it's not to loved ones and you sort of just want to talk to somebody else, you know, there's a bit of a stigma around calling those helplines and that it sort of has to be right at crisis point or something. But, you know, they are sort of there just as somebody on the end of the phone to chat about sort of anything, how big, how small. So I think they're great resources that people can sort of avail of as well.
So is it okay to, if you've had a situation like that, is it okay to enjoy your Christmas, or should you sort of, you know, be spending it reflecting on the loss, do you think? Which way should people go, or is it a balance?
I think it's definitely about striking a balance. You know, there are going to be times where you're feeling a lot of grief and loss and sadness and sort of acknowledging and having that. But I think also you've got to be open to sort of having, you know, happiness and sort of those unexpected moments of joy and trying not to feel guilty about it and sort of know that that's sort of healthy and normal and not to feel too guilty about it. Very difficult balance to strike, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So what have you got planned for this Christmas for your own well-being? What's your plan?
So I'm going to be switching off from work and really focusing on limiting my use of technology, just because I think this year's been a massive year of being on the screens. It feels almost like 24/7. I'm also going to be looking at, you know, how much alcohol I'm drinking, because I am someone who likes to sort of indulge over the festive period, and also cutting out my coffee just while I'm not sort of working in that, just sort of, you know, trying to get a better sort of sleep routine and helping me sort of sleep a bit better, hopefully. And the other thing is committing to moving every day, you know, whether that's going out for a walk, I might be doing a little bit of a boogie in my own room to one of my playlists, or, you know, a YouTube video on yoga. And I think finally, for me, it's going to be sort of taking time out to sort of reflect on the year, not only looking at the craziness of it and everything that's going and has gone on and how life sort of feels as though it's been turned upside down, but also looking at the things that I'm grateful for. You know, I think there's really something important about just taking stock and realizing what you have. You know, gratitude's super important. So, and throughout the year, there's been positives scattered throughout, especially some unexpected ones, which I've called COVID silver linings. So I think it will just be a really good time just to sit and reflect sort of on both the negative and the positive that's come from the year.
Thanks for that. So what's top of the playlist for the boogie tracks?
I am loving Kylie Minogue's new dance, her new disco album, so it will probably be that.
All right, definitely have to give that I'll check that one out. So we're heading into a new year, obviously not too long now. What practically could people do to, you know, improve their well-being next year, given that it's been such a challenging year? Next year is going to be full of its own challenges. What kind of practical steps would you recommend for people to take?
Yeah, I think it's probably over this period, like taking some downtime and really trying to rest and recharge, if at all possible. I think that will be something that's really important in the lead up to the new year. And I think it will just be sort of trying to sort of see 2021 as a bit of a reset, but also knowing, having sort of the mindset, yep, we've left 2020 behind, but also knowing that, yeah, it is going to be challenging, as you said, Martin, sort of preparing yourself to get back in the ring almost. And I think, yeah, focusing, I think as we get into winter as well and different things, a lot of our physical well-being sort of aspects can sort of start to slip. So looking at your sleep, especially with, you know, the daylight hours sort of changing over winter, making sure that you're keeping sort of a regular sort of sleep routine, making sure you're exercising and getting outdoors as much as possible. You know, I think movement's really important, especially sort of with being at home. It's a way of just, you know, we're missing out on a lot of that incidental exercise that we usually would have on commutes and different things. So making sure that we are sort of making up for that in one way or another. And yeah, focusing on those little things that we sort of let slip throughout the year when we get really busy that can sort of lead long term into burnout. So yeah, that'd be my things to have people thinking about and focusing on.
Fantastic. Well, this feels like a good time to introduce the podcast you're working on. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes. So in the new year, we'll be launching Wellbeing Wisdom, which is going to be a podcast focused on people sharing their stories, experiences, and tips around wellbeing in the workplace. So really passing wisdom onto each other about wellbeing. And we hope, yeah, hopefully, you know, we can start to get talking about it more in different workplaces. You know, there's been a lot of talk about it this year as a society, so we just want to continue that conversation. So keep an eye out for it in the new year.
Fantastic. I think it feels pretty timely and pretty crucial point, because I think one of the challenges with home working and has been this sort of sense of isolation that people have had. I think there hasn't been as much communication between people on a, you know, on a more personal level. It's all very professional at the moment, work oriented. So this feels like a really great way for people to actually talk about what's really going on with them, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, storytelling is so powerful in sharing different ideas and tips. I don't know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I think it's the ones where people are sort of sharing their stories, and that are the ones that sort of hit home, and where you take sort of the pieces of gold wisdom away with you.
This has been great, Bridget. Thank you so much for your time.
The Chatter team is V. Rizazi, Adam Digby, and I'm your host, Abby Ulori. This is the last episode from us for the year. We'd like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Please take care of yourselves and be safe.